It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good Friday afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. It's a new month, the month of May, and federal social distancing guidelines have expired as more states begin to open up from the coronavirus pandemic.
It's a step in a positive direction.
But not everybody feeling that way. Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer extending the state's lockdown order for another month.
The worst thing we could do is to abandon all social distancing, to pretend like we are done with COVID-19.
Her shutdown order drew thousands of protesters to the state capitol in Lansing.
The current state of emergency is not the virus. The current state of emergency is Michigan economy.
In states like Florida, the wheels of industry are turning again.
People want to get back. They want to get out of their houses. They want to get back to their jobs.
Senator Rick Scott.
You can see the pent-up interest. People are tired of being home.
In Texas, restaurants, malls, and movie theaters can open at 25% capacity. Ohio extending its stay-at-home order, but construction and manufacturing can get going starting on Monday. In Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot says, get used to wearing a mask.
We're going to be living with masks for the duration. I see that happening certainly over the course of the summer and the fall, and maybe even till next year.
And there's a poll out today on what you think of opening back up.
Despite the damaging economic toll of the coronavirus, a new ABC News Ipsos poll shows a strong majority of Americans would be unlikely to resume activities where big groups are present, with Republicans far more likely to be willing than Democrats to restart day-to-day activities immediately. Less than one in four would be likely to go to places where big crowds tend to gather for leisure activities, including a movie theater, bowling alley, or sporting event. Americans are more open to going to restaurants, churches, and sending their kids to school, but a majority still say they would be unlikely to do these activities if the restrictions were lifted tomorrow.
Mike Bauer reporting the rush is on to approve a coronavirus vaccine. This public-private partnership dubbed Operation Warp Speed. Researchers hope to have that vaccine as soon as January.
We're going to fast track it like you've never seen before.
The president says the goal is to get 300 million vaccines into use in under 8 months. Essential workers on strike today. They're protesting for better workplace protections amid the pandemic.
These were protesters marching last year on May Day, but this year brings a new reality with the coronavirus. Essential workers from Amazon, Whole Foods, Target, and FedEx say they'll walk off the job or call in sick, concerned about their company's virus policy. Other demonstrators plan to protest statewide lockdowns.
Massive open up New York protests happening today at the state capitol and in cities large and small all across the Empire State.
We ask that you stay in your cars, honk your horns, make your voices heard that way. But we really hope that you respect the lives and the well-beings of the people who live here.
That's the mayor of Albany, Kathy Sheehan. New York's lieutenant governor, Kathy Hochul, tapped to spearhead the state's reopening strategy.
We're not going to do this a minute later than necessary, but not a moment too soon.
Hochul says she can sympathize with the protesters.
First of all, you have to give people hope. I mean, people have been living in this slumber now for weeks and weeks, and it's been taking a strong emotional toll, whether you're a business owner or you're a mom at home with your kids and trying to work from home while teaching them. It's extraordinary, the pressure that New Yorkers are under.
Those Open Up New York protest rallies got underway today at noon. Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, speaking out for the first time about the assault allegations he is facing.
I'm saying unequivocally, it never happened.
A former Biden staffer, Tara Reid, claims she was victimized by the VP decades ago. Biden telling MSNBC,
I don't know why she's saying this. I don't know why after 27 years, all of a sudden this gets raised. I don't understand it.
Reid claims she was assaulted by Biden in the basement of the U.S. Capitol. The FBI continues to face backlash for reportedly trying to entrap former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Newly revealed documents show FBI higher-ups intended to frame Flynn on the Russia collusion collusion story, former U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley.
Everybody that was involved from top to bottom should have to pay, because James Comey, he has made millions over this time that General Flynn has literally lost everything. It's wrong, it's corrupt, and someone needs to pay.
Trump ally Katie McFarland thinks she knows what motivated the FBI.
They were desperate to stop Flynn because Flynn had a plan to reorganize the intelligence community, all 16 agencies, reform it, streamline it, reduce it. They had to take a preemptive strike against Flynn before he could go and start carving up their fiefdoms. And that's one of the major motivations, in addition to trying to get Trump. The goal was to get Donald Trump and stop his administration dead in its tracks.
General Flynn resigned 3 weeks into his job at the White House after pleading guilty to lying to the FBI. President Trump says China owes us an explanation for how coronavirus infected the rest of the world. He thinks the bug can be traced to a lab in Wuhan.
China is a very sophisticated country, and they could have contained it. They were either unable to or they chose not to, and the world has suffered greatly.
New York Congressman Tom Reed.
The fight with China is now on, and now is the time for this debate to happen. And if we don't learn the lesson, if we don't wake up as a country now, shame on us, and then we'll yield the power position to China. And that's not going to happen in my lifetime, I guarantee you that.
The president says Beijing needs to explain why it would not allow travel from Wuhan to other parts of China, but it did allow people from Wuhan to travel to this country. The coronavirus pandemic has sickened thousands of meat plant workers. That has reduced production and supply.
Hearing meat could be the new toilet paper when it comes to hoarding. Many grocery stores are now limiting how much you can buy. Phil Limbert is known as the supermarket guru.
We don't have to hoard. It's true that we're down to about 60% capacity in our meat processing facilities, but it will come back. It will come back soon.
Albertson's company has limited meat items to two per customer.
That's Amy Johnson reporting a couple COVID-19 related sports items. First, from NASCAR. It returns this month. No fans and strict social distancing guidelines, but there will be racing. From the world of pint-sized baseball, sad to say, there will be no Little League World Series this year in Williamsport. Still to come on the Noon Report, it is decision day in New York and PA, tracing armies, and why were sick workers allowed to work in nursing homes. We'll dig in after this.
Good afternoon. The weekend is here and it shapes up fairly well weather-wise. I'll be back with the details coming up. Your forecast is up in about 10 minutes.
All right, we'll be ready. Thanks, Kevin. Governors Cuomo and Wolf both making big announcements today. In New York, a decision is coming on whether schools will be closed for the rest of the academic year. In fact, the governor making that announcement right now. In Pennsylvania, we're finding out which regions of the state will open first, beginning next Friday.
This is going to work only if the overwhelming majority of Pennsylvanians decide they want to make it work.
Governor Wolf warns he could rescind those phased-in reopening plans if businesses do not adhere to social distancing guidelines. His health secretary, Dr. Rachel Levine.
Restaurants will stay closed except for pickup, and large gatherings and concerts will stay closed.
Meantime, the Pennsylvania Auditor General looking into whether the Wolf administration improperly managed those business shutdown waivers.
The question we need to find out is, could more businesses have been open in light of also staying safe inside of social distancing? And were they essential to make sure that we were providing services that were needed? And was this done in a fair process?
Auditor General Eugene DePasquale. Governor Cuomo says it will require a tracing army for New York to get an adequate assessment of just how well we're faring in the fight against this invisible enemy.
It's not rocket science to do it on an individual basis. The problem is the scale that we have to do this at.
Reporter Peter Haskell has more on the strategy to track COVID-19.
The game plan now is to test, trace, and isolate. The governor explains contact tracing.
When you get a positive, you talk to that person,
and trace back who they have been in contact with.
The state will need as many as 17,000 people to do the job.
Two new COVID-19 test sites have opened up in western New York.
One in Buffalo's Cobblestone District, the other on the campus of Niagara County Community College.
You can get tested without having to leave your car. We're able to handle 500 tests a day. Now, these are the tests that we've been looking for weeks, so we're so happy that we finally have these tests.
That's New York State Assemblyman Sean Ryan, the National Guard, helping to run both COVID-19 test sites in western New York. Bill Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bill. Did you know that up until 2 days ago, staff at nursing homes in New York who tested positive for coronavirus were still able to work with vulnerable seniors? The state health department put the kibosh on that on Wednesday. Steuben County Manager Jack Wheeler says the policy change happened only after he complained.
It's just frustrating. I would say that it took this much time and the fact that it had to get escalated in the media before it got changed.
Over a dozen patients at a Steuben County nursing home have died from the virus. It's unclear how many of those fatalities in Hornell were because of contact with a COVID-19 positive nursing home employee. A lot of people asking questions about that today. Good news for college kids in Pennsylvania. A tuition freeze in place again at all state-run schools.
The move is the first time in the state system's 38-year history that it has frozen tuition 2 years in a row. Base tuition for state residents will remain at $7,700 a year at the 14-university system.
Family Life's Terry Diener says the state system of higher education has experienced a 20% decline in enrollment the past decade. And there's good news for homeowners along Lake Ontario.
That's right. The International Lake Ontario St. Lawrence River Board said it expects water levels across the lake to peak well below the record highs we saw in 2017 and 2019. Massive flooding in those years caused significant damage that some communities are still recovering from. Right now, Lake Ontario water levels are well above average, but more moderate weather and increased outflows are encouraging signs. The board says it's taking regular actions to review outflow strategies while monitoring conditions in real time to help the system recover faster from extreme water levels. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Let's go racing. It's the 2-Minute Drill with Sonny Delphiette.
Thank you, Bob. Sports is on the way. NASCAR announced it will resume its season with two Cup Series races within a 4-day span at Darlington Raceway, the first held in just 2 weeks on May 17th. Both events will take place without fans in attendance, as will the annual Memorial Day weekend race at Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Coca-Cola 600. NASCAR, which suspended its season March 13th, has been holding virtual races during the hiatus with both current and former drivers competing, becomes the second major North American sporting organization to announce a specific date to resume holding live events. That since UFC president Dana White said earlier this week he's holding three events in Jacksonville, Florida on May 9th. The big story locally. At the Little League World Series, to the list of major sporting events canceled by the pandemic, league president Stephen Keener said the championship, held every August in South Williamsport, PA, would be impossible to conduct this year due to the ongoing restrictions on travel and crowd gatherings. It's the first time the Little League World Series, which has taken place every year since its inaugural running in 1947, has been canceled. Additionally, Major League Baseball announced it will cancel the game between the Red Sox and Orioles, scheduled in Williamsport to coincide with the Little League World Series. Keener does add that it's still possible a Little League season can be held in some communities this summer. And the NCAA is now considering holding off a change that was recommended to the transfer waiver process in early February. That permitted all athletes to switch schools once without having to sit out a season. But now the NCAA Board of Governors recommending sticking with the current rule that requires football, baseball, men's hockey, and men's and women's basketball players to sit out a season after transferring. Just can't wait for a season to begin. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
You and me both. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come, doing church post-pandemic. Drive-in graduation ceremony. And Kev's got that weekend weather in 4 minutes.
If you struggled with how to connect what you do Monday through Friday to what you hear on Sunday, I know a sage who can help. The Colson Center. I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. So what does an M&M factory in Virginia, a boardroom on Madison Avenue, the slave ship of John Newton, a U2 concert, and a cattle auction in Colorado have in common? Well, of course, each one is part of the every square inch over which Christ claims sovereignty, but each are also subjects of reflection in a tremendous new book by one of the wise and trusted sages in my life, Dr. Stephen Garber. His new book, The Seamless Life, A Tapestry of Love, Learning, Worship, and Work, is now yet another piece of Steve's writing to mentor and challenge my thinking. His first book, The Fabric of Faithfulness, is an essential resource for anyone in Christian education. And even if you're not, his description of Christian worldview in that book is easily among the best that I know of. This soft-spoken Regent College professor will tell you that his life and his writing and his thinking and his leading have all been part of an exploration of what it means to live all of life under Christ's lordship, all of it, even in the most ordinary of places and relationships and professions. In The Seamless Life, Garber explores how to live a life that's connected, not disconnected. And throughout the book, Steve weaves in and out of an amazing array of illustrations of people he's met, both in person and history, of movies and plays and songs and works of art, of honest cowboys and prayerful candy executives. In one of my favorite chapters, Steve shares a memory of the grandparents he spent his summers with as a boy in Cortez, Colorado. He knew that they took their Scottish Presbyterian faith quite seriously when he witnessed and even participated in their nightly liturgy of kneeling together for prayer. But when Steve witnessed an auctioneer asking his grandfather the market price of a particular cow and then taking him at his word without any hesitation, Steve knew that his grandfather lived a, well, seamless life in which being a cattleman was fully integrated with being a Christian man. The book's diverse and beautiful collage of insights, along with its intellectually and theologically rich devotional passages, are united by a single idea, that our work, in whatever corner of the world God has placed us, has a sacred quality to it. Of course, we face incredible challenges to do this. On this side of the garden, our world's a broken one. It's hard to live out the already of the gospel when we're bombarded and sometimes even crushed by the not yet of the fall. And that's exactly where Steve introduces one of his favorite words, a very helpful word, one that he uses so often that his students sometimes make fun of him for it. It's the word proximate. The dictionary defines proximate as that which is closest in relationship or immediate. What Steve means by proximate is, though we can't fix the whole world by ourselves, that's okay. But we are called to do something that's right and good and true and just here and now where we've been placed, to help the people within our reach, to feed the hungry within our sight, to speak life to whomever we happen to meet at the well, and sometimes to haul in a net full of fish and give God the glory. In other words, we're called to do the things we can do, not the things we can't. And as the chapters progress, dealing with great works of literature and mundane parts of life and the world, it becomes clear that this caring is sacred. It is, in fact, the essence of a seamless life, to ora et labora, or pray and work, whether our jobs are agricultural or academic, whether we're plumbers or carpenters, whether our days take us into hospitals or into schools. Come to breakpoint.org/Garber. That's breakpoint.org/Garber. I'd love to send you a copy of The Seamless Life with your next gift of any amount to Breakpoint. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stonestreet.
Hey, it's the weekend. Congratulations. Kevin's got the weather forecast.
Here is your family life weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, variably cloudy skies, sunny breaks, a couple of scattered showers, high temps mid-50s to the mid-60s. Skies will partially clear tonight, fog will form, low temps near 40. For tomorrow, skies will feature more sun than clouds. It's a mild day, it's a dry day. High temperatures, upper 50s to the mid-60s. There'll be the chance of a shower tomorrow night. Sunday, in New York, clouds and some sun. Rather cloudy in Pennsylvania, a couple of showers central and west. High temperatures on Sunday, mostly in the 60s.
Okay, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. It is Friday, the 1st of May. And we Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, I'm going to begin with you. This weekend, no fewer than 25 states will be easing stay-at-home orders in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. New York, not one of them, but their day of unpausing is coming soon, hopefully. We know the impact this may have on businesses at first, but a lot of pastors have been asking me, what will church look like in the coronavirus era? What is it going to be like for houses of worship once this unpause thing does start to take effect?
Yeah, as you can imagine, we're fielding a lot of those calls as well. The governor has essentially given us the roughest of timelines. So by May 15th, it looks like that at that point, some construction and manufacturing businesses will open. 2 weeks after that, we'll see a further opening. So I don't anticipate that church sanctuaries will be opened until June, which, while frustrating for many churches, it also is a great opportunity because we really are going to have to rethink church in a post-pandemic world. There will be people who will not return to church because they don't want to spread this virus. There will be people who want to be there. Children's ministry will look different. And so I think we're going to have both an on-campus model, if you will, and an off-campus model, even for churches. People that will be live streaming but still want to be a part of the body of Christ that is meeting. And so there's many, many questions we're going to be looking at in the weeks to come. And our ministry will be releasing resources to help churches walk through what that may look like.
Yeah. In the midst of this pandemic, Planned Parenthood has been hard at work. 1,700 abortions during this ban on so-called elective surgeries. And they have won a huge victory with this latest Wolf veto, this telemedicine bill, which would have really helped when you think about how business is done nowadays. The governor shoots it down. Michael, you've been following this story for a long time. Tell us why.
Yeah, it was reported in the news, a quote from me saying, when Planned Parenthood wants a veto, Governor Wolf always delivers. The fact is that this telemedicine bill, which was supported by the Hospital Association and the Pennsylvania Medical Society and AARP and virtually everybody to expand access to telemedicine in the midst of this pandemic, Governor Wolf vetoed it solely because that bill restricted the ability of Planned Parenthood to do chemical abortions on a remote basis using telemedicine. That was a part of a provision in the bill that was protecting health and life of people in Pennsylvania that said that drugs that were on a particular list from the FDA, dangerous drugs that should be only prescribed face-to-face, the abortion drug was one of those drugs. The bill said you couldn't do telemedicine and include those drugs. And because of that one drug, chemical abortions, Governor Wolf vetoed it.
Wow. Well, we're talking pro-life issues. You have filed a brief with the U.S. Supreme Court. This is breaking news, Michael. Give our listeners a little bit of inside baseball on that.
It's a request for the United States Supreme Court to hear a Pittsburgh case dealing with free speech and the rights of pro-life citizens to gather outside abortion clinics and counsel women who are considering abortions. Pittsburgh passed an ordinance that says that people have to stay at least 15 feet away from the entrance of an abortion clinic. When that bill was being considered by the city council, one of the council members actually said, we want to make sure that the women going in don't hear a pro-life message. And so our attorneys at the Independence Law Center filed a brief with the U.S. Supreme Court saying this is unconstitutional violation of free speech and asking the court to hear the case.
Yeah, Jason, in this coronavirus pandemic, it seems like nursing homes in New York have been the hardest hit. So tragic. So many lives lost, over 3,000, I believe, statewide. And the governor now has taken some action in that regard. If you would explain that to our listeners.
Well, late Wednesday night, there was a different order that came out of the governor's office. Essentially, up to this point, nursing home staff that were COVID-19 positive were allowed to continue to work in nursing homes.
Wow.
As of Wednesday night, following pressure from the Steuben County Manager Jack Wheeler, Assemblywoman Marjorie Burns, and Senator Pat Gallivan, the Cuomo administration has now reversed that and COVID-19 positive staff will no longer be allowed to work in nursing homes, but will have to take that 2-week break until they are no longer positive. It's stunning, and now we know why nursing homes have been ravaged by this coronavirus.
Yeah, and it begs the question. He just took this action this week. This virus has been part of our daily conversation for several weeks. This potentially could cause an astronomical rise in the death rate in New York, correct?
Correct. And don't forget that the governor also announced a state investigation of why there were so many deaths in the nursing homes. That's an attempt for him to get ahead of this and to control the messaging as the state looks at this issue.
Yeah, interesting. Let's head to Harrisburg again, Michael. A Pennsylvania business owner is taking this stay-at-home order from the governor to court, the U.S. Supreme Court, saying that Governor Wolf acted without due process. Explain this case, if you would, a little bit, and the chances that this guy has that he will be successful ultimately.
Well, yeah, it's a businessman, and actually a group of business people. They call themselves Friends of Danny DeVito, not the actor, but actually the name of this business owner.
Okay.
And I don't know that it's going to have a lot of success before the Supreme Court. They asked for an injunction, a stay from the Supreme Court this past weekend. That was denied. Then they come back Monday with a request for at least the court to hear the case. It's the kind of case, honestly, that I wouldn't be surprised to see in cropping up in states all over the place because of what many view as the heavy hand of government that is arbitrarily closing certain businesses and allowing others to be open. You hear from clothes stores, for example, that say, why can Target sell children's clothes, but I can't right across the street?
Yeah.
Those are the sort of concerns that are being brought up by these business owners.
Siena College gave us a poll this week. Kind of surprising. It gives the governor really high marks, 77% approval rating for how he's handled this pandemic. Jason, is this due more to real leadership in the face of this crisis, or is it just the fact that the governor is in the daily news cycle? Every day he gives those 11:30 press conferences, and every night he's on the news. What do you think is contributing to those high marks for the governor?
Well, I think you can never over-communicate in a crisis. And in times of crisis, people are looking for leadership. And so if you can portray leadership, then I think people will see that and they will affirm that. That's probably what's going on here. I mean, there are daily hour and a half press conferences that are being held. And the legislature is not in session. So no one is essentially going after the governor on any political front, and he's profiting from all of the news cycle that is just keeping his name out there everywhere all day long.
Yeah. Michael, a couple of county coroners, I think one was Lycoming County, the other Sullivan County, said, hey, in response to the official death count in Pennsylvania, they say the state health secretary, Rachel Levine, using fuzzy math here and how it keeps score of the official fatality rate. What's going on here?
It has raised the questions. Not only those two coroners, but some in some other counties as well have raised questions about it because state law requires coroners to investigate deaths in the case of infectious diseases, and yet the Pennsylvania Department of Health is precluding them from doing that. And that's raised questions among many of the coroners. And then questions about the numbers. After some of the coroners raised these questions, we saw there was a 2-day period where deaths jumped up significantly in terms of the state numbers. And then a couple of days later, that number dropped back down. And I know that those people were not resurrected, but rather the state was saying, well, there were some computer glitches and some other problems. And it does raise questions that go to public trust of our government officials.
Yeah, lots of questions being raised today. Finally, Jason, New York mailing ballots to voters for the June primary. This is unprecedented. As far as we know, that June 23rd primary is still on, but we saw Ohio just do this recently. Is this the new normal for how elections are done, mail-in elections? What are your thoughts and concerns on that?
Well, Allah Rahm Emanuel, never waste a crisis, right? And I think that's what Governor Cuomo is doing and many of the progressive Democrats in Albany are doing these days, is they are using this time to advance an agenda they have long sought. Universal balloting is a problem. Essentially, we are sending a ballot to every registered voter. There are lost ballots. There are just so many problems when there are all these loose ballots floating. Yeah. Remember, we're not talking about an application to get an absentee ballot, which we have no opposition to. We are talking about ballots floating around that could easily be returned and no way to verify who really voted in that election.
Boy, I tell you what, these are strange days. I seem to say that every week. These are very strange days. But if you have questions about the Pennsylvania response to COVID-19, Michael, you have a wonderful website folks can check out. What is that, sir?
PAFamily.org.
Stay informed on the issues in New York as well. Jason, where can folks go?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Capital Connection comes your way every Friday during the Noon Report or online anytime. Go to FLN.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As high pressure will be building into the region, we have a pretty nice Saturday to look forward to across the area with some sunshine and mild air. A front will deliver a shower to some Saturday night, and then high pressure brings some sun on Sunday, although a disturbance passing off to the south of our region will mean some cloud cover and a couple of scattered showers Sunday in parts of western and central Pennsylvania. The call for this afternoon, variably cloudy skies, sunny breaks, a couple of scattered showers, high temps mid-50s to the mid-60s. Skies will partially clear tonight, fog will form, low temps near 40. For tomorrow, skies will feature more sun than clouds. It's a mild day, it's a dry day. High temperatures, upper 50s to the mid-60s. There will be the chance of a shower tomorrow night. Sunday, in New York, clouds and some sun. Rather cloudy in Pennsylvania, a couple of showers central and west. High temperatures on Sunday, mostly in the 60s.
All in all, not a bad-looking weekend. Thank you very much, Kevin. And finally from us at noon today, the drive-in graduation ceremony in western New York. Yeah, while coronavirus has postponed commencements nationwide, it cannot stop this one. St. Mary's High School in Lancaster, New York, plans to hold its high school graduation ceremony at a drive-in May 28th.
The kids are looking forward to doing something, and we can make it fun and meaningful.
That's Kevin Keller. He heads that school, and he tells WIVB-TV.
We'll do our best, and it'll be memorable, right? It's been an odd year. Why not have a little bit of an odd graduation?
Now, why not? If the state gives the go-ahead, each of the 112 graduating seniors would stay in their cars with their families as video tributes to the class of 2020 are played on the big screen. Dan May is the class president.
It's really unique, because who can say that they had their graduation at a drive-in while eating popcorn and kind of watching your graduation as a movie up on the big screen?
St. Mary's principal Keith Januk.
We're going to try and make lemonade out of lemons, and we're going to try and put this on and put on a show for the kids.
He says this is an important life lesson. You got to learn to roll with the punches.
How do you prepare for life? Well, life throws curveballs at everybody, right? Everybody, whether it's what you're going to do in college or beyond with work and everything else. So this is just the world's largest curveball. And so I think what we're trying to do is take what we have and make something out of it.
Gotta love it, don't you? The drive-in graduation ceremony in Lancaster, New York, just outside of Buffalo. Let's hope the state gives the green light and the show goes on. And that's all the time we have for today, Friday, the 1st of May. Have a wonderful weekend, won't you? I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.